ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम श्री महागणपतये नमः ओम ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकयजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम नान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकयजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम शांति 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 आवर प्रेयर्स गो टू भगवान फॉर द स्पीडी रिकवरी ऑफ वन ऑफ अवर चिल्ड्रन फ्रॉम इलफर्ड स्टूडेंट्स फैमिली. That's why we did this japa. Om Sadashiva Samarambham Vyasa Shankara Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Shruti Smriti Purananam Alayam Karunalayam नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांति. मूकं करोति वाचालम् पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः सांगपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिना यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः. ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः. In our Ilford class, we have completed the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We are supposed to begin the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita called Karma Yoga. And this chapter, Karma Yoga, begins with a question by Arjuna. And when does a question arise? The question comes only when there is a doubt. Doubt is possible only if there is some understanding or some knowledge. If one does not have any understanding at all, then the question cannot come, because there will not be any doubts. If one has thorough understanding, also doubts will not arise. Therefore, the question cannot come. So the question itself is always an expression of doubt, and which is possible only if there is some understanding and some non-understanding or misunderstanding. So here also, the third chapter begins with the question, which means Arjuna had some understanding and Arjuna had some doubt. What did he understand? What was his doubt? Which means Arjuna has already heard the whole of second chapter. And his second chapter, entitled as Sankhya Yoga, presents three different topics. The three factors are discussed in the second chapter. What are those topics? Jnana Yoga, then Karma Yoga, then definition of a wise person. You cannot know anything more than this in second chapter. But understanding these three topics itself is enough, which means you have understood the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. In second chapter, Arjuna asked this question when he was completely ignorant. He asked this question, Krishna, please tell me only that which will remove my sorrow for good. Why? Because there a situation comes, we always manage situations, and the situation comes, I cannot tolerate, I cannot bear anymore, I cannot stand the pain, I cannot put up with sorrow anymore. The situation comes, and Arjuna had a situation. Arjuna had the best of luxuries, everything he enjoyed in life, and the situation came and where he asked. Because he made very clear, nothing in the world he knew that would remove his sorrow for good. So the important verse where Arjuna asked Krishna to tell him that which would remove his sorrow. Now where he says, Shadhi mam tvam prapannam. Mam prapannam shadhi. O Lord, please protect me, the one who has surrendered to you. And who am I here? He says, Karpanya dosha upahata swabhavaha. Tvam prichami. Hey Krishna, I ask you, completely confused and overwhelmed with sorrow. He says, Karpanya dosha upahata swabhavaha. Tvam prichami. Please protect me, the one who has surrendered to you. Tadi ekam nischitya vada. Please tell me only one that, which will remove my sorrow. Karpanya doshopahata swabhavaha prichamitvam dharma sammodha chetaha yachreyasyanischitam bruhitanme sishyasteham shadhimam tvam prapannam. Aham te sishyaha, I am your disciple. Aham, I have surrendered to you. Please tell me that yat shokam apanudyat, that which will remove my sorrow for good. Because he asked, so what is that which will remove the sorrow for good? Then Krishna made very clear. It is the Krishna's answer began. Now, with the glorification of knowledge. Krishna started his teaching with the glorification of knowledge, which means it is the knowledge which alone will remove sorrow for good. Nothing else will remove sorrow for good. Nothing else will free one from bondage for good. Which means, he implied, it is the ignorance. It is the ignorance which is the root cause of the problem. It is the ignorance which is the cause of sorrow. Therefore, removal of sorrow is removal of ignorance. And it is the knowledge which alone will remove the ignorance and the ignorance caused to sorrow. Therefore, he began his teaching with the glorification of knowledge, the 11th verse of 2nd chapter. What did he say? Ashochyan anvashochastam prajnavadamscha bhashase gatasu nagatasumscha na anashochanti panditaha. That was what he makes it very clear is, wise people do not grieve, only ignorant people alone grieve. It implies, so wise people do not grieve means what? It is the wisdom which makes the wise person wise. Therefore, the grief is not there for the wise person. Therefore, that is how he began his teaching. And immediately, Krishna are unfolding the nature of the self. Thereafter, Krishna also introduced the Karma Yoga. Having discussed the nature of the self, how the self is consciousness, and the self is indestructible, self is all-pervasive, and self is timeless, time-wise limitless, spatially limitless. Having discussed these things, Krishna introduced Karma Yoga. And he said, come on Arjuna, get up and do your duty. Get up and go do your duty. Tasmat uttishta kaunteya. Get up and go and do your duty, and may you, which means Arjuna was asked to go and fight against adharma. And thereafter again Krishna concluded his chapter glorifying the wise person, which is again the glorification of wisdom, the self-knowledge. Therefore, Arjuna had this confusion. Why did Krishna talk about the knowledge? Then why did Krishna later on talk about the karma? Why did he ask him to do karma? We have to see before we enter into the third chapter. It is the ignorance of the self, which is the ignorance of the reality, which is the cause for this cause for sorrow. Therefore, removal of ignorance is the only means for freeing oneself from sorrow, for which all that one needs is the knowledge of the self. But self-knowledge, no, the pursuit of self-knowledge is called Jnana Yogaha. So Jnana Yogaha, you all know very well, Jnana Yogaha involves three steps. Shravanam, Mananam, and Nididhyasanam. These three steps, when they are followed properly, then it will result in the clear vision of the self, the clear doubt-free knowledge of the Atma, which itself is freedom, moksha. But this knowledge, this clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the self is dependent on the contemplative disposition of the mind. Without the contemplation, this wisdom will not become clear. When you listen to the Shastram systematically, definitely you will have the knowledge, but that knowledge will be doubtful knowledge. So the doubtful knowledge is as good as ignorance. The doubtful knowledge has to become clear knowledge, and for which one needs to reflect on what one has already heard through Shravanam properly, then one has to have all the doubts resolved. So for which this reflecting on what one has already heard, understood, the way one can resolve one's doubts is called mananam. That mananam, only after mananam one can have clear doubt-free knowledge. Even this doubt-free knowledge also can be forgotten, cannot be remembered. Why? Because our own emotions, which one has been collecting, accumulating for many janmas and also in this life, always from one's own subconscious one can have one's own emotions surfacing, and those emotions also can be obstacles. Therefore one can have emotional obstacles in enjoying this freedom from sorrow even after having the clear understanding, doubt-free understanding of the self after Shravanam Mananam also, which means this knowledge which is clear, doubt-free, has to become unforgettable, ever remembered knowledge, which will always be handy, you know, in all situations, so that one can enjoy one's freedom which one already has. And for which there is Nididhyasanam prescribed. The Nididhyasanam is in fact the contemplation, the constant contemplation, which is dwelling upon one's own self, which is contemplating upon what one has clearly understood, doubtlessly understood through Shravanam and Mananam. So contemplation is always of something. Contemplation is upon something which has been already clearly, doubtlessly understood. Therefore, contemplation is impossible without having gone through, this is Shravanam and Mananam systematically. Therefore, this contemplation alone will bless one with that clear, doubt-free, ascertained knowledge which itself is moksha. Therefore, one needs to have contemplative disposition of the mind, for which the contemplative disposition of the mind is said to be what now? Pure and steady mind. Understand? Relatively pure and steady mind. That mental purity and steadiness required on the part of the mind is said to be the qualification required for jnanam, and that qualification can be accomplished only if a person lives a life of karma yoga. Therefore Krishna emphasized that one has to do karma as yoga in order to prepare one's mind for jnanam, in order to become qualified for knowledge. Therefore this jnana yoga, the pursuit of knowledge involving these three steps, will be effective. Thereby one can attain jnanam, attain moksha. This is the reason Krishna, after immediately glorifying knowledge, introducing the nature of this, the unfolded nature of the self, immediately introduced karma yoga, again concluded the chapter with the glorification of a wise person. He finished the whole chapter, but Arjuna had a doubt. Krishna praised karma yoga, jnana yoga, in the beginning, which is pursuit of knowledge, because knowledge is the only means of moksha. He concluded the chapter with the glorification of knowledge. Only in between he said something about karma yoga, and he asked him to get up and go for duty, doing his duty. Therefore Arjuna had a doubt. If knowledge is the, this one thing became very clear for Arjuna. It is the knowledge, Atma Jnanam. It is self-knowledge which alone will free me from sorrow for good. That became very clear for Arjuna. But why does Krishna ask me to do karma? That was not very clear for Arjuna. Therefore, he begins this chapter, third chapter, with his question. What is the question? Let us see that now. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Arjuna Uvacha. Jayasi Chet Karmanaste. Jayasi Chet Karmanaste. Mata Buddhir Janardana. Mata Buddhir Janardana. Tatkim Karmani Ghore Mam. Tatkim Karmani Ghore Mam. Niyojayasi Keshava. Niyojayasi Keshava. This is the first verse. Arjuna, if knowledge is the only means for moksha, freedom from sorrow, freedom from limitations, freedom from bondage, all that I want now is freedom from sorrow, which dries up my senses. I want liberation from sorrow, the dukkham that I'm going through now. So for which knowledge is the only means. You made very clear in the previous chapter. That means I should go for the pursuit of knowledge. I should go for the study of the Shastram, giving up all the activities. I should go for the pursuit of Jnana Yoga. But Krishna, you are asking me to do karma. That what karma you are asking me to do? Why do you ask me to do karma? Why do you ask me to involve myself in this horrible act of fighting, which involves bloodshed, killing, etc.? He doesn't say all these things. He says, Ghore Karmani Mam Kim Niyojayasi. Kim Mam Ghore Karmani Niyojayasi. Why do you ask me to involve myself in this act of killing? Why do you ask me to do action at all? Why do you ask me to perform action at all? Why? Because Krishna, in your own opinion, in your own vision, in your own view, this is what has been said before in the previous chapter. Buddhihi jayasi. Buddhihi here means self-knowledge. Buddhihi should be taken here as Atma-jnanam, Brahma-jnanam, Paramatma-jnanam, Bhagavad-sakshatkaraha. Buddhihi shreyasi. If knowledge of the self, see, the word buddhihi literally means intellect. But in which context, the word, which word means what? You should be very clear. The first chapter of, first verse of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when it the word buddhi used by Arjuna means knowledge. Buddhihi jayasi chet. Chet means if. If self-knowledge, knowledge of the reality, knowledge of Paramatma Jnanam is superior to karma. Why superior to karma? Because karma will not liberate you from bondage. It is the knowledge which alone will liberate you from knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is superior. Why knowledge alone can liberate you from bondage, limitations and sorrow? Because it is the ignorance of the self which is the root cause of the sorrow. Therefore, knowledge of the self alone will liberate you from sorrow for good. So, freedom from unhappiness is in knowledge of the self. That has been made very clear in the previous chapter. Therefore, what now? If knowledge is superior to action, performance of action, and if action cannot free one from bondage, if knowledge alone can free one from bondage, then why do you ask me to do the karma, ghor karma? Why do you ask me to perform action? Why do you ask me to action at all? Ghore karmani kim mam niyojayasi. This is the first question. So all of us have the same question. Then he goes to the next verse also. Arjuna, he has not completed it. Even though he asks this question, Arjuna knew what Krishna was the teacher, and Arjuna knew whatever Krishna said must be correct. But why there is contradiction in his expression? Knowledge will free you from bondage. Knowledge will free you from sorrow. Come on, get up, go and do your duty. Why does he say that? It is like the doctor saying, when a patient goes to the doctor saying, "Oh, I have severe stomachache, I'm suffering, please give me some medicine." And he shows, "You have the medicine, doctor, for this." The doctor shows some medicine. "Yes, this is the medicine which will cure you from your stomachache." But he tells, "Keep that," and he asks, "Come on, take this pill first." And he will ask, if you say that pill is going to, really remove me, free me from stomachache, why do you ask me to take other pill? The doctor knows that has to be taken first because it needs some preparation. Then only this medicine will work on that. For this medicine to be effective, that has to be taken first. Doctor may say, we may ask this. And also Arjuna is like that. Arjuna is asking, why do you ask me to do karma? Kim ghore karmani mam niyojayasi? Then he says, so we'll read it once again. Arjuna uvacha, jayasi chet karmanaste. Mata buddhir janardana. Tat kim karmani ghore mam. Niyojayasi Keshava. Vyamishreneva vakyena. Buddhim mohayasiva me. Vyamishreneva vakyena. Buddhim mohayasiva me. Tadekam vada nischitya. Yena shreyoham apnuyam. He says, buddhim mohayasi iva me. Me buddhim mohayasi iva. Vyamishrena iva vakyena. By your contradictory expressions, you seem to be confusing my mind. In the second sentence, the second verse also, Arjuna used the word buddhihi. The word buddhi in the second shloka means the mind, my intellect. The word buddhi in the first verse means knowledge, self-knowledge. Me buddhim mohayasi iva, vyamishrena iva vakyena. Vyamishra vakya means contradictory statements. Your statements are, you say two things. Knowledge will free you from sorrow, therefore, come on, get up and fight. Go and do your duty. The two statements. Therefore, Vyamishra Vakya, means the contradictory statements. Therefore, it seems your words Your words are contradictory. They seem to be confusing my buddhi, intellect. Therefore, please tell me, Krishna, ekam vada, tadi ekam nischitya vada. Please tell me only on that. Only that. Tadi ekam nischitya vada. Please definitely tell me only that. Yena aham shreyaha apniyam. By which alone I can attain shreyas. You know the word shreyas means mokshaha, the ultimate good, absolute good is called shreyas. The word shreyas means absolute good, ultimate good. What is absolute good? That by which one can be happy always, everywhere, with everybody is absolute good. No? That which is good for some people, in some place, in some time, no? Then it is only relatively good. It's a relative good. Relative good is good for some people, not for all the people. Relative good can be good at some places, not always, everywhere. Only in sometimes, not always. But absolute good is that which is desirable, that which is good for all the people, always, everywhere. That's called absolute good. And the absolute good here is knowledge of the reality, because it's a mokshaha here. Over here, yena aham shreyaha apniyam. Please tell me only that by which I can attain mokshaha. Moksha means what? I can become free from my sorrow. I want only that. I want get rid of this sorrow. I don't want mental agony anymore. Therefore, ekam nischityavada, nischityavada. Please tell me only that definitely. I don't want anything else. I want only that which will free me from sorrow for good. Tad ekam nischityavada, yena aham shreyaha apnuyam. This is his question, which means Arjuna did not know the connection between karma and jnanam. Arjuna was clear about one thing. What was he clear about? He was clear, what he wanted was freedom from sorrow. It was very clear. And that freedom from sorrow is dependent only on the knowledge. It is the knowledge which alone will free him from sorrow. That he was very clear. He was very clear about two things. But what he was not clear about, he was not clear why he should do karma. Why Krishna asked him to do karma, that he was not very clear. That is why the question came. Therefore, now Krishna begins his teaching. Krishna begins his answer. Before we enter into that, let us understand this. See, mokshaha, the freedom from sorrow, freedom from limitations, is an ultimate, choiceless, common human goal, end. There's no choice about it. Whether we like it or not, it is not that I don't want that, attain moksha. Nobody can say, because it's a choiceless end. And this end, for this end, all that one needs to attain knowledge. Knowledge itself is mokshaha. And what knowledge here? Knowledge of the self. Self-knowledge is freedom, self-knowledge is mokshaha. And this knowledge, as I told you earlier, is possible only if a person is qualified for this knowledge. Without the mental preparation, mental qualification, knowledge will not be possible. What is that qualification required for this knowledge? Antahkarana shuddhi, antahkarana naischalyam. This mental purity and steadiness are the qualifications required for this knowledge, without which moksha is not possible. Therefore, for that preparation, the qualification required for knowledge, one has to live a life of karma yoga. So living a life of karma yoga is the sadhanam, means for mental purity. This sadhanam means. And what is the end? What is that end one can accomplish by using this sadhanam, this means of karma yoga? Karma yoga is a means to accomplish what? To have mental purity and steadiness. Karma yoga can give only that much. Once you are mentally ready, prepared, qualified, then the jnana pursuit of jnana yoga will be effective. Then jnana yoga will bless one with knowledge. So karma yoga is for a sadhanam for mental preparation, required for jnanam. And that prepared, for the prepared minded person, jnana yoga becomes the means for the knowledge. And therefore knowledge is the means for moksha. Knowledge itself is moksha. This is how one has to understand the connections. Therefore the two different sadhanams. Two different sadhanams. For two different ends. Okay. Which is the means for which end? Karma yoga is the sadhanam, means for mental preparation, mental purity and steadiness, the qualification required for the pursuit of knowledge or knowledge. And pursuit of knowledge involving these three steps, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, which is the means for the knowledge, which is the knowledge becomes the end. And knowledge itself is freedom, moksha. This must be clearly understood. For Krishna here, now he begins his teaching, which means Arjuna is not yet prepared for jnanam. Therefore, Krishna introduces what? Krishna tells Arjuna to begin his sadhanam of living a life of karma yoga. Therefore, he begins his teaching here. Let us see. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Lokesmin Dvividha Nishtha. Lokesmin Dvividha Nishtha. Pura Prokta Maya Nagha. Pura prokta maya nagha jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam shri bhagavan uvacha Lokesmin dvividha nishtha. Dvividha nishtha. Pura prokta maya nagha. Jnana yogena sankhyanam. Karma yogena yoginam. Karma yogena yoginam. Asmin loke, in this world, pura prokta, it has been said by me, maya pura prokta, hey Arjuna, please listen to me. This teaching is not something very new now. It is not brand new teaching which is given to you now. It is a timeless teaching which has been always there. Always this teaching has been there. So, Pura Maya Prokta. What is this? When Pura means Pura, every time there is the beginning of creation, you know, along with the creation, this Veda, entire Veda Shastram, the way of life, the teaching, how one, the way of life also has been taught. Along with the creation, the way of life, the teaching also is given. Like what? Like how the IKEA shop people give all the manuals to fix up when you go there, buy things, and you can go and buy anything, but how to fix it, how to make use of it, how to enjoy it, for which every object, they have every, along with everything, the manual is given. Similarly here also, you know, every time in the beginning of creation, the Veda Shastram also is perennially coming into existence. That is why Veda is a timeless Shastram. So Pura implies before, in the very beginning of the creation, which means always Veda Shastram, the teaching is available. Here we not question like this. When did the creation begin? When did Krishna teach this? Who gave this teaching first? Who did he give teaching to first? Let us not have all those questions here. We need to understand this teaching is a timeless teaching. Shastram is a timeless Shastram. Timelessly it has been always there. They were Pura Maya Prokta. Loke Svindvividha Nishta Puya Pura Prokta Maya Anagha. He Anagha. Anagha, Agha, Agha means Papam. He Anagha. O sinless Arjuna, you are already, in Bhagavan address itself, he make already calls him as, you are already free from all sins. It's a big difference, isn't it? Hey, Anagha. No, this teaching has been available, which has been said by me much earlier, the very beginning of the creation. What is this? Nishtha. Nishtha means a lifestyle. So, dvividha nishtha pura prokta. Two committed lifestyles have been already prescribed. Two different lifestyles already prescribed means what? In each lifestyle, one is meant for practicing one sadhanam. What are the two different lifestyles here? Pravritti margaha, nivritti margaha. Life of activity is one lifestyle. And other one is what? Nishtha here is lifestyle. And other life is what now? Say nivritti margaha, you know, the contemplative life. So life of activity and life of retirement, which is contemplation. The two lifestyles. Pravritti margaha, nivritti margaha. This is what Pura dvi vidha nishtha pura maya prokta. Two lifestyles have been prescribed by me before. Where? In the very Veda itself it has been said. And these two lifestyles means there are two different sadhanams. Sadhanam means a means to accomplish an end. So there is a therefore jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. The two sadhanani, two nishtadhana, then dvividha nishtha, then therefore two different sadhanas. Sadhanam means a means. means to accomplish an end. Now, what is the sadhanam, the means to accomplish an end called freedom from sorrow, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from limitations, freedom from the undesirable, unwanted? It is the knowledge. So, to accomplish the knowledge, which itself is freedom, for which, what is the sadhanam? Jnana yogaha. Jnana yogaha is the sadhanam, is the means to accomplish the end called jnanam, knowledge, which is moksha, freedom from sorrow. So, jnana yogaha means what? Jnana yogaha means a life committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. The pursuit of knowledge is jnana yogaha. So, pursuit of knowledge means what? Here, involving oneself in shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, which is study of the scriptures. Studying the scriptures, so being committed to the study of the scriptures is shravanam, is said to be jnana yogaha, pursuit of knowledge. And how the study should be pursued, had be done, that's why we have the stages, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. They explain how the study of the scriptures should be done. Therefore, jnana yogaha is the sadhanam for jnanam. But one can go to the pursuit of knowledge. The pursuit of knowledge will be effective. It will bless him with the knowledge, accomplishing the desired end, only if he is eligible, qualified for that jnanam. So what should one do for qualification? What is the qualification required there? No. One should have mental purity and steadiness. So how to become mentally pure and steady, for which another life, another sadhanam, karma yoga life. Karma yoga is the sadhanam. So karma yoga is the sadhanam, and which can be followed in a household life. Therefore, grihasthashrama life is designed for living a life of karma yoga, where one can, by following this karma yoga, one can prepare one's mind for jnanam, or one can prepare one's mind for the pursuit of knowledge. And jnana yoga lifestyle, you know, is actually, it is designed for sannyasa ashramaha. So here we have to remember very clearly, the two sadhanas are prescribed. One is for mental preparation required for knowledge, and one is for knowledge, and knowledge is for moksha, which means we did not think about which ashrama now I am in. We all need to know whether I am qualified for jnanam or not. Then whoever, now once you are very clear, then we can, we have to see that you understand the value, the importance of, you know, getting oneself qualified for this knowledge. Thereby one can make all possible efforts to get oneself qualified for jnanam, for which living a life of karma yoga is the only way. There's no way of preparing one's mind for knowledge without living a life of karma yoga. Therefore, jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam, these two sadhanas, you know, are prescribed for the end. And here the question is, which is superior to what? Is karma yoga superior? Is jnana yoga superior? The two sadhanams are there. Should I follow both karma yoga and jnana yoga? Or should I follow only one? Can I skip one? Should I follow both? Or which is superior? Which is not inferior? Which should be followed first? Which should be followed later? All these doubts will be there. So Krishna makes it very clear. There is no option. There is no option between karma yoga sadhanam and jnana yoga sadhanam. Both these sadhanams are important. For whom? For the one who is mumukshu, the one who is desperate, one who is desperately seeks freedom from limitations, the one who desperately seeks freedom from the sorrow, one who seeks desperately freedom from all this the mental agony. And for such a person, the knowledge is the only means. For knowledge, no, knowledge is the only means. The one who knows the value of knowledge definitely should understand the value of, the importance of being qualified for that knowledge. One who knows the value and the importance of qualification required for knowledge will know the value and the importance of the sadhanam called karma yoga. Therefore, living a life of karma yoga is the sadhanam for preparing one's mind for knowledge. And jnana yoga is for the one who is already prepared minded. Or even if one is not prepared already also, one can be given to the pursuit of knowledge along with his, what now, effort to prepare his mind required for, mind for knowledge. Along with taking care of his preparation of the mind required for knowledge, one can also pursue this knowledge. Therefore he says, jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. These two sadhanams are prescribed for people who are given to two different lifestyles. There is no option between the two. Both are must. But which should follow first? So one has to live a life karma yoga. Thereby one can become qualified for knowledge. Thereafter one can pursue jnana yoga. Thereby one can attain jnanam. Thereby one can attain freedom from limitations, freedom from sorrow. So karma yoga is what? Is for jnana yogyata praptihi. And jnana yoga is for jnana praptihi. Karma yoga is for the attainment of qualification required for knowledge. Jnana yoga is for the attainment of knowledge. Therefore, between the two, which is superior, which is inferior, there is no option. Both have to be followed sequentially. Karma yoga has to precede. It will result in preparedness. Then jnana yoga has to follow, which will result in jnanam, and which is mokshaha. Krishna makes it very clear. We are going to see very clearly the lifestyles, everything later on. Let us see the verse now. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Lokesmin Dvividha Nishtha. Pura Prokta Mayanagha. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam. Karma Yogena Yoginam. So people may have the doubt. Suppose we do not perform any action at all, is it possible for us to attain moksha? Or if all the time if we involve in ourselves in activity continuously also, can we attain moksha? There are people who are workaholics. They cannot remain without doing something even for a minute. Always they have to be doing something or the other. Because it's difficult to be without doing something for some time is not easy, not possible. But there are some people who are very lazy. No, they don't want to do anything, or there's a fear of doing something. Therefore here, once I do perform karma, it will produce punya papa, therefore I have to exhaust. What if I do not do karma at all? If I leave the karma, what is there? So I will not attract any punya papam, therefore I can escape. Therefore, that I can avoid, is it possible? So Krishna makes it very clear in the following verse. Na karma na manarambhat naishkarmyam naishkarmyam purushosnute purushosnute nacha sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchati siddhim samadhi gacchati na karmana manarambhat naishkarmyam purushosnute nacha sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchati. So karmanam anarambhat. Anarambha means not beginning to do any karma. It's called anarambha. Or you can say non-performance of actions. Karmanam arambha means beginning of the actions, beginning of performance of actions. And not beginning, non-performance of actions. So karmanam anarambhat purushaha naishkarmyam na ashnute. Naishkarmya means, again here, actionlessness, which means mokshaha. Naishkarmya should be understood here as moksha. Okay, naishkarmya literally means actionlessness. The implied meaning of the word naishkarmyam in this verse is mokshaha. So, one cannot attain moksha by remaining without doing any actions, which means non-performance of actions will not help you attain freedom from sorrow. It not free you from bondage or limitations. Nacha sanyasana deva. No. So by giving up activities, not beginning to do anything, by giving up activities for good also, one cannot attain moksha. Siddhim na samadhi gacchati. In fact, performance of actions will not help one attain moksha. So non-performance of actions also will not help one attain moksha. Why? Because mokshaha is something to be understood. Mokshaha means freedom. And freedom from limitations, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from fear of death. This freedom from fear of death, freedom from sorrow is something to be discovered, not to be attained. In fact, freedom implies what? Happiness. Here, freedom from fear, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from sorrow implies what? Happiness. Happiness means what? Happiness means limitless happiness. Limitless happiness means what? Being happy always, everywhere, with everybody is limitless happiness. And this is what is sought after by all the human beings always, everywhere. That is why this moksha, the freedom from sorrow, is understood to be what now? The common human universal end. It is always, which is a common end, sought after by all the people of all times, everywhere. And it is a choiceless end. And what Shastram says is, this moksha is something to be discovered, understood. So not knowing what moksha is the cause for unhappiness. So understanding moksha, understanding happiness is in fact understanding of the truth of the universe, which is otherwise in Puranic language is called Bhagavan. Knowing Bhagavan, knowing Ishvara is knowing the truth, reality, which is knowing what happiness is. Therefore, this it is that knowledge of reality, a knowledge of Bhagavan, knowledge of truth is nothing but knowledge of one's own self. Therefore, Atma Jnanam, self-knowledge, is the knowledge of the truth of the universe. And knowledge of the truth of the universe is knowledge of the reality, a knowledge of the truth of the entire universe, which is otherwise called Bhagavat Sakshatkaraha. Then it is this knowledge, which is knowledge of happiness, which is attainment of happiness, which is attainment of moksha. Therefore, self-knowledge is freedom, knowledge is moksha. Which means, so performance of actions has nothing to do with your end called moksha. For how much ever karma you do, whatever you do, it will not remove your ignorance. Knowledge is not, the act, performance of actions is not against the ignorance. It will not remove ignorance. Therefore, ignorance will be there, unhappiness will continue to be there. So, non-performance of actions also will not remove ignorance. Therefore, non-performance of actions or giving up of actions or performance of actions will no way will remove the ignorance. Therefore, it will not remove, sorrow will not go. Sorrow will continue to be there. So, what does it mean here? Therefore, you have to remember, it is the knowledge which alone will remove ignorance. Only when the ignorance is removed, then the sorrow also will, sorrow will disappear, will resolve by itself. Sorrow will resolve if the ignorance is resolved. For which all that you need is knowledge. But for that knowledge, what you need is Jnana Yogaha. What is Jnana Yogaha? One has to study the Shastram. And Shastram is the only means of knowledge. And one has to study the Shastram, and which will result in Jnanam. So commitment to the pursuit of knowledge will result in Jnanam. And for that, even the study of the Shastram to be effective, one has to be mentally pure and steady, mentally qualified. No? Therefore, for which one has to live a life of karma yogaha. This living a life of karma yogaha alone will contribute for mental purity and steadiness. Thereby, it will prepare your mind for knowledge. In due course of time, it will bless you with knowledge. It is the karma yoga which will free you from bondage. How? Karma yoga becomes an indirect means of moksha. It's not direct means. So karma yoga without knowledge will be incomplete, and knowledge without mental qualification, preparedness, will be impossible. Is it clear? Therefore, Krishna says here, karmanam anarambhate naishkarmyam na ashnute. Moksha, one cannot attain moksha by giving up actions or by not performing actions. One has to do karma. But that karma has to be converted into yoga. Karma has to become karma yoga. So mere performance of actions will not contribute for mental preparation. Non-performance of actions will not contribute for mental preparation. Then how to become mentally qualified? How, which means one has to convert one's actions into yoga. Here, the word karma yoga consists of two words, isn't it? Karma yoga has two words. The word karma stands for performance of actions. The word yoga and performance of actions means what? Proper actions. The word karma stands for performance of proper actions. The word yoga stands for proper attitude. The word karma yoga together implies performance of proper actions with proper attitude. It's not mere performance of actions. It's not mere performance of any action you want to do. No. Performance of proper actions with the proper attitude alone is karma yoga. So what are the proper actions? What are the proper actions? We have to understand first. So proper actions, we are going to say elaborately, but still let me tell you here. So proper actions means we have three types of actions. As categorized by our Shastra. Sattvikam karma, Rajasam karma, and Tamasam karma. Sattvic activities, Rajasic actions, and Tamasic actions. What are those actions which are said to be Sattvic actions? What are those actions which are said to be Rajasic actions? What are those actions which are said to be Tamasic actions? Here, the actions by performing which not only I benefit, no, my family benefits, people, the community benefits, others benefit, those actions are sattvic actions, which means the sattvic actions are such performance of which contribute for the well-being of more and more of the people. Majority of the society benefits. The majority of the society benefits by my actions. Those actions are the most more sattvic actions. The more beneficiaries are there, the more my actions are sattvic actions. And such sattvic actions contribute for spiritual progress, mental preparedness, mental purity, spiritual progress, no, accomplish spiritual end. This can accomplish the spiritual end. What are the rajasic actions now? Rajasic actions are those actions by performance of which not many people benefit, some people benefit. I benefit, definitely. Some others benefit, but not many benefit. The beneficiaries are less in number is rajasic action. The beneficiaries are more in number, that is sattvic action. So rajasic actions, do they contribute for spiritual progress? they contribute very little for spiritual progress. See, the sattvic actions contribute much more for spiritual progress, emotional maturity. Whereas the rajasic actions do not contribute as much as the sattvic actions. They contribute less, very little for the spiritual progress. Then we have tamasic actions. Tamasic actions are those actions by performing which I benefit, others do not benefit at all. So the actions which do not contribute for the others' well-being, others are not the beneficiaries, I am the only beneficiary, others are not the beneficiaries at all, this tamasic actions. Therefore, the Shastram really divides our actions into three groups of actions, three types of actions, as sattvikam karma, ajasam karma, and tamasam karma. Of these three types of karma, what karma becomes the which karma converts the karma into yoga? I don't need to tell you now. You know, sattvikam karma really converts the karma into karma yoga. What is karma yoga? Anything which contributes for preparing our mind, it contributes for mental preparedness, purity and steadiness, is called yoga. So sattvikam karma alone becomes karma yoga. Isn't it? Then, so these are the proper actions. But these proper actions become the karma yoga, isn't it? When they are performed with the proper attitude also. What should be the attitude? What is that attitude one should have in performing actions? Thereby, these actions become yoga, karma yoga. We are going to see later on, but here I can introduce now itself. This karma yogi, the one who follows this karma yoga sadhanam, one who lives a life of karma yoga, performs his actions as an offering to Bhagavan. He dedicates all his actions to Bhagavan. So dedication of one's actions, offering one's actions to Bhagavan. You don't physically offer anything, your actions to Bhagavan. So performing one's actions as an offering means what? Entertaining an attitude of offering one's actions to Bhagavan is actually converts one's actions into yoga. Is a proper attitude. When do you perform your actions with the proper attitude of offering it to as an offering to Bhagavan? The situations come, whether I like to do certain things or not, whether I do not like to do or not. I always like to do certain things, I do not like to do certain things. Which means I want my actions are governed by my own likes and dislikes. I like to do, I do things which I like to do. I try to avoid what I do not like to do. So here, whether I like to do or not, I do what is to be done. I do not do what should not be done. What is proper, I do. What is improper, I do not do. What is right, I do. What is not right, I do not do. Which means, sometimes we don't like some things which we need to do. Even coming to this Ilford in the cold weather, you know, and driving all the way, sometimes we don't like to do thin things. So when we happen to do the actions which we do not like, always there is pain, there is stress, there is strain, isn't it? We get really tired. It really, doing things which we do not like to do, love to do, really causes stress and strain and tired physically, mentally, it drains our energy. Nervous. It's better to always learning to like, love to do what we need to do. And if we have this Ishwararpana Buddhi, then we will definitely learn to love to do whatever we need to do. And all our actions become an actions offering to Bhagavan if we perform these actions always remembering our end. We are living this life ultimately to discover the moksha, the freedom, the happiness which is already there. Why? Because discovery of happiness is choiceless end. I have no choice. And happiness is something to be discovered, means what choice do I have? I cannot really go through sorrow all the time. And I want happiness. This happiness is my choiceless end. And this happiness is something to be discovered. I'm living this life ultimately to discover what happiness is, means, and which is actually discovery of the truth of the whole, which is Bhagavan. Therefore, the remembering, always remembering my ultimate end. I'm living this life to discover freedom, which is already there. To live my life, I need what? I pursue artha, kama, dharma. In order to pursue artha, kama, dharma, I need to do my actions. I'm performing actions which I need to do. Ultimately, to live this life, I'm performing actions, but I'm living this life ultimately to discover moksha. If this is always remembered, then your actions become offered to Bhagavan. There's no way of offering your actions to Bhagavan. All the time being focused, what am I living this life for? What is the ultimate purpose of living this life? What is this human life meant for? What is this human life for? What is the goal of this human life? All the time, if I remind myself of, if I remember my end always, then I am reminded of my end. What is that? I am living this life ultimately for discovering freedom, happiness, fullness, which is already there. I'm living this life ultimately to discover the truth of the whole Bhagavan. There's no doubt. There should not be any doubt at all. If this is very clear, then all I'm all the time doing is for to live this life. Therefore, this life itself is lived for the sake of Bhagavan. Since for the sake of for ultimately discovering the truth of the whole Bhagavan, then all the actions I'm doing now become offering to Bhagavan. There's no way of offering your actions to Bhagavan. It is this attitude with which actions performed become what? The yoga. It's called Ishvara Arpana Buddhya Karma Karanam. Performance of actions with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan converts our actions into yoga. Okay, and not only that, one more thing, another this attitude also is important. That is, once I perform the actions, every action choicelessly produces the result. There's no action which does not produce the result. All the actions definitely produce the results. But those results may be desirable, may not be desirable. May be complete to my opposite to what I, to my expectations. Even may not be the same. May not be desirable at all. Then whatever will be the results, those results of actions always come in my life as the pairs of opposites, in my life, all the situations. Therefore, the person who chooses to live a life of karma yoga, how is he facing these situations in life? Whatever is the situation, in all the situations, he remains the same. Remaining the same means he is equanimous. He has the sameness of mind, which means the paths of opposites, the results are desirable or undesirable, the pain comes, the pleasure comes. There is no depression and dejection, there is no elation. He remains the same in all situations. The pain or pleasure, success or failure, honor or dishonor, victory or defeat, day or night, cold or heat, in all the situations, in all these paths of opposites, life is full of paths of opposites, in all these life of paths of opposites, this person remains the same, means remains balanced. He maintains equanimity, which means there is neither elation nor dejection. There is no depression. Which means that equanimity, it is remaining the same in all situations, is not at all an easy thing. Very difficult. Even it is, people can say, no, I offer all my actions to Bhagavan, therefore, I perform my actions with Ishwarpana Buddhi, that they may say easily. But having this, maintaining equanimity is not an easy thing. Remaining the same in all situations is not an easy thing. We will definitely react. We will be emotionally highly shattered. Something, because situations are always determined by who? Who is the determiner of my situations that I go through in life? Because nothing is unpredictable, nothing is predictable. Because always we think something, we do something, and they turn to be something completely different. And there's no point in blaming others. Even nobody is responsible for what we go through in life. But we cannot understand why nobody is responsible for what I go through in life. We always try to blame others for what we go through in life. We blame the doctors, we blame the medicines, we blame the situation, we blame friends and we blame neighbors, we blame our own friends, our parents, our children. Always we try to put the blame on others for what we go through in life. Why? Because we are not able to understand how things are predicted. We are going to see tomorrow in following classes, we'll see elaborately these things. Today I just introduce this topic of Karma Yoga. Now we'll see very beautifully, we'll see all these things. I'll try. Therefore, nothing is in our hands means nothing, all the situations that we go through in life are determined by the hidden variables, isn't it? So many things, which means the natural laws alone determine what we go through in life. The natural laws, the natural laws which determine our situations are none other than Bhagavan. They are not separate from Bhagavan, the Lord. Therefore, if we see whatever comes from Bhagavan is prasada, we have. Therefore, these natural laws which determine the situations are manifestations of Bhagavan, then the results, the situations ordained by these natural laws also what now? Come from Bhagavan. Therefore, they are to be seen as prasada. We can see these situations as prasada only if we remember this fact. This is a much subtler fact. What is the fact? All that one goes through in one's life is determined by the natural law, which is Bhagavan. If we had to remember this fact all the time, only if we remember this fact, then we can see all the situations as what now? The law determined situations or a Lord determined situations. If we remember this fact, we can see these situations as prasada. If we can relate to the situations as prasada, prasada gift from Bhagavan, then we can accept them. The capacity to accept the situation, the acceptability, isn't it? Accept the situations, however undesirable it is, however intolerable it is, how unbearable it is, however non-acceptable it is. We can accept the situations if we can relate to the situations as prasadaha. That it needs what? Prasada buddhihi. Now, prasada buddhihi means what? Now, entertaining, the attitude of seeing everything that comes in life as prasada. Is it possible for us to see? Is it possible for us to see everything that comes in life as prasada? 2 years ago, situation was different. After 2 years, situation is completely different. Still, we see it as prasada. 4 years ago, completely different prasada. Now, completely, you can't believe this can change so much. People can change so much. Situation can change so much. Anything can happen. Therefore, all these changes are what? Prasada. Because they are determined by the laws, natural laws. And what are those laws? They are nothing but Bhagavan. This is something we will see little in detail tomorrow about it, but let me tell you this much. Therefore, once you see it as prasada, then you can accept it with sameness of mind. Therefore, a karma yoga, one who lives a life of karma yoga, definitely has the sameness of mind, entertains the sameness of mind, mental equanimity in all situations. He remains balanced without elation and depression. Dejection. This is called what now? This is in accepting the situations, he entertains the prasada buddhi. In performance of actions, he entertains Ishvara Arpana Buddhihi. This attitude is called proper attitude. Understand? So entertaining proper attitude. In performing proper actions, then it becomes karma yoga. Listen, so prasada buddhihi. Therefore, it is not non-performance of actions which will prepare your mind for knowledge. Non-performance of actions will not free you from limitations or unhappiness. So mere performance of actions also will not free you from unhappiness. There's no way of escaping from the unwanted, undesirable, unhappy, sorrowful situation at all. Wherever we go, our shadow follows, isn't it? Our own mind comes with us. Therefore, the only way for you to free yourself from unhappiness, to discover, you need to discover happiness. The discovery of happiness is, in fact, knowledge, which is the discovery of Bhagavan, discovery of the truth, which is discovery of your own self. And for you to discover the truth of the universe in your own mind as yourself, your mind must be ready. The mind must be qualified. Mind must be pure and steady. Even for you to see your face, the reflection of your face in the mirror must be unmoving and firm. It should be dirt free, dust free, clean. Isn't it? Similarly, to have the vision of Bhagavan Swarupam as your Swarupam in your own mind, all that you need is, you need the mental purity and steadiness. That mental purification means one has to become relatively free from one's own likes and dislikes, ragadveshas, isn't it? That is what is mental purity. We'll see that actually. Therefore, that mental purity, that relatively becoming free from the hold of likes and dislikes, ragadveshas, is possible. The agitated, disturbed mind can become steady mind only if you choose to live a life of karma yoga. It is karma yoga lifestyle. It is the karma yoga which is the sadhanam which will prepare your mind, help you prepare your mind for knowledge. Thereby it help later on, and again it will help you attain moksha through knowledge. Which is for karma yoga is the indirect means of moksha. Okay, therefore, this non-performance of actions will not help you at all. Is it clear? Later on, these what I have said now will be again repeated in the following verses. No, I'll tell you where whatever I have said now is going to come. We'll see this now. Na karma nama narambhat naishkarmyam purushoshnute na cha sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Okay, not only that, and because Arjuna asked what? Arjuna thought he would not do any karma at all. He would simply go for the study of the Shastram, giving up all his duties and responsibilities. He was ready to do that. But now Krishna has to make him do his duty first. Therefore, he is explaining. Now it is Krishna's answer for Arjuna's question, isn't it? Therefore, and here again one more thing says, whether a person is a jnani or an ajnani, no living being, no human being can ever remain, first of all, without doing any actions at all, even for a second. Okay? Not that I want to do or I don't want to do. If you do not want to do something, you will end up doing something which you need not do, which you should not do. Why? Because it is not possible for one to remain without doing any action at all. Nobody can ever remain without doing any action. Why? That is the very nature of the matter. Because the whole body, your mind, your sense organs, your physiological functions, all those different aspects which constitute this individual, your physical body, which is an elemental product, your mind, which is again elemental product, your sense powers are elemental products, your physiological functions are elemental products. The whole individual different layers which constitute the human individual, they're all material products. We have to understand every human, we are all, what now? We have two personalities. There's a spiritual personality and a material personality. You are not just, is it? We are both. We are combination of both spiritual and material personalities. And this is what is the nature of this material personality? The body, mind, and its complex called Karya Karana Sanghataha. What is its nature? The matter itself is of the nature of constantly undergoing changes. Isn't it? Therefore, it is not possible for one to remain without doing any action. It's not possible. Even if you do not want to do something, even if you sit without doing anything also, that is also an action. I can explain to you that how it is. Suppose if you decide, I don't want to do any action at all. Okay, what do you want to do? I'm going to sit here like this, without moving. Sitting is what? Action. No, I won't sit. Let me lie down. Lying down is what? I keep my eyes closed. I sleep. All the time I'll be sleeping, sleeping, sleeping without getting up. Sleeping is what? Still. Understand, don't think it's not inaction. It is laziness, that is a different thing, but it's an action. Therefore, without doing any action, one cannot remain even for a second. All the time you are performing actions. In waking state you are performing actions. In dream state your mind is active. The body is not active. In deep sleep state also your mind is also not active, but still your physiological functions are still active. There's no time you are never inactive, because one cannot be totally inactive ever. Understand? Which means always one is made to do actions, because of the very nature of the matter. That is said in the next to fifth verse. Nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishthatya karma krite nahi kaschit kshanamapi jatu tishthatya karma krite karyate hyavashah karma sarva prakriti jair gunaihi. See, kaschit kshanamapi, even for a kshanam, even for a second, kaschit akarmakrit na tishtati, no one does remain even for a second without doing anything, without performing anything, which means everyone is made to do something or the other always by what? Prakriti jaihi gunaihi, by the gunas of prakriti. Gunas of prakriti means I'll explain this particular line. Prakriti jaihi gunaihi karma karyate. This line I'll explain tomorrow, because already they showed me the time. Okay, explain tomorrow. So how everyone is made to do something or the other. Everyone is forced, impelled, choicelessly. Please understand, you have no choice about doing action. Okay, you are forced to do some action or the other. You are impelled to do, you will involve yourself in some action or the other. There's no time you are free. Why? Because that is caused by the very nature of the matter. The very cause of your body, mind, sense complex. Therefore, no one can ever remain without doing any action. Therefore, Arjuna, what does Krishna want to say here? So, non-performance of actions is impossible. Remaining lazy is possible. That will not lead you anywhere. But non-performance of actions is not possible. Definitely you'll be eating, drinking, smoking, and then you'll be sleeping. Those things you'll be doing. So just simply, no, therefore performance of actions will not lead you any distance. Non-performance of actions also will not take you anywhere. It is the knowledge. What you want is knowledge. And for that knowledge, you need to be prepared mentally. For that mental preparedness, you need to perform action. Which action? Proper action. Sattvikam karma. And that proper action, how should you perform? With the proper attitude. Isn't it? And one more thing is, what is that sattvikam karma? The proper action performed with the proper attitude. Ishwararpana buddhihi. Whatever you do, it is an offering to Bhagavan. Whatever comes in life, it is prasadam, which is, you remain the same. Whatever I do, offering to the Lord. When it is offering to the Lord, I do it with all enthusiasm, with all love, with all attention. I do it. Whatever comes in life, it is prasada. Then I do not feel dejected or elated. Whatever comes, it's a prasada. I accept it with sameness of mind. This attitude is very important for a karma yogi. No, but here, above all the actions I perform must be in conformity with dharma, my knowledge of right and wrong, the values, okay, which you will see tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.